Good afternoon or good early evening to those of you outside somewhere in deep space. Good afternoon to the people that live 50,000 feet up in the air in giant aerostats. Good afternoon to the cave dwellers who live deep below the ocean sea. It is Wednesday. You know, they call it hump day here in Seattle. It is Wednesday, October the 28th, right? 2020. I almost wanted to say 2016. Wanted to say 2016, baby. I almost wanted to say 2016, so let's talk a little bit about a few things. I had a friend I knew a long time ago. I met him on one of the first gigs I had that dealt with healthcare informatics. It was kind of a data mining, big data job. It dealt with insurance payers. That's as much as I want to say. And after I left that gig, I stayed in contact with my friend, and let's call him G. G. And let me tell you something about G. I do not know if he's still alive. He might be, he might not be. The last time I communicated with him was probably 4 years ago. And he was very sick. That's what I'll say about G. But in the year 2011, 1 year after my first failed attempt at a blog, I decided to start a blog in the year 2011. And that blog lasted about 5 years. It was dendritica.com, but it had other names, even some names that I still have. I am Sully, INTJ. I gave it a lot of different names, but it was a blog. It lasted for a while. And when I wrote my first essay for that blog, and you can read it if you want to, it's in a PDF format, or you can pay some money to Amazon Kindle and pay for all the whole fucking thing. Warts and all, the whole fucking blog in a giant PDF, if you can imagine such a fucking thing. But it's also free PDF download on my website, dfgtc.org. That's right. Dr. Freckles Global Tontine Club. dfgtc.org. But hey, find it yourself, right? Dendritica. And the first essay I wrote for Dendritica had to do with a tire slashing incident on the road I used to live on with my ex-wife. And I remember sending that link to that blog post to my friend G, and I was so fucking proud, and I got the response, and it was a bit of a downer. He sent me a link to an essay that dealt with the topic of the digital ghetto. Digital ghetto, the internet ghetto. And it wasn't, he liked the article, and it wasn't a complaint about the writing. It was the fact that he was making a point that from his perspective, the frontier, the open spaces, the bullshit lie of the free internet was pretty much over. And I don't want to talk about the dark web because, folks, I've researched that subject. Here's the deal. Is there a dark web? Yes. Are there what I would call deep networks that use very strong encryption? Yes. Is it likely that they manufacture their own chips? I mean, not very likely. In some cases, there probably must be people that manufacture chips, special chips. You don't have to buy commercial chips. Say, Dan, why are chips important? Why is the CPU important? You know, I hate when that topic comes up. It's so stupid. You can shove the digital equivalent of the, what, the Yamato, the giant fucking Japanese battleship. You could shove that and the fucking, you know, you name it, every fucking battleship you can imagine onto a fucking chip these days. And you can put it there in the digital sense, and it only, you wouldn't even know it's fucking with you, because essentially it would be using pass-through behavior. And in that sense, if it's well designed and it really is just pass through behavior, then it's just a simple linear signal processing issue. And yeah, so unless you're making your own chips, no matter how deep and dark and deep and dark and deep and dark you go, you're tagged. My friend sent me that essay, and it was a downer because at the time, I was well on my way to being an anarchist, almost there. Probably pissed off my ex-wife the way I was thinking back then. And I don't know what to say about that. That's life. You know, people are sometimes in love, sometimes they're not. Marriages fall apart. She was, you know, she's a good woman. It probably was a good marriage. And I probably did fuck it up. But you can't cry over spilt milk. And at least, like, yeah, we didn't have kids. There's that, right? Anywho, I'm thinking about this because, you know, if I had really understood what my friend was saying in 2011, I would have taken a radically different approach to all of this. I think I would have ended up in the same place, but not the same place. Let me explain. You know, a different place, you know, something better, maybe, I don't know. But I would have taken a different approach. You know, in the last couple of years, I've gotten into these stupid posters, and on one level, they are kind of stupid. But the basic idea is that if you're going to be shut out, find other strategies for being heard. Because currently, the internet is owned. I'm sorry. It's owned, it's owned, it's owned. Okay? It is. I don't even, you know, they allow us to participate to the extent that it reinforces the lie. It does. That's how it works. That's why you'd say, well, Dan, they let you talk. Listen, I am so deeply shadow banned, I can actually prove it. Like, it's so stupid now, I have an email chain with SoundCloud. If there was such a thing as a rule of law, I could sue SoundCloud. And I bet I would find enough people, because I've worked in software, so it's not special to Dan. I bet I would find enough people that this happened to, where they literally pay the company and they get fucking shadow banned. I've had users that donate to me have accounts repeatedly deleted. And these are the things I know about. So please, if you're going to tell me there's some free bastion of crypto paradise somewhere on the current internet, I just have one fucking message for you. Fuck you. Is it possible that there could be an ethical social media? Yeah, there could be. That's what the internet was supposed to be. Imagine instead of a profile, you had a website, or even just part of a website. What's the difference? Why would you need there to be a difference? Why did they convince you that you needed their help, okay? You could go onto WordPress and create a website probably faster than going onto Twitter or Facebook and creating an account. And guess what? At least if you believe the bullshit, you're living in a free fucking world. So ask me how seriously I take Twitter. Like, if one of the people I purged, and guess what? Yes, I purged... I used the thing in my skull cap called the brain, also known as a reasoning engine. I wanted to save myself some time, you know what I mean? And one way of doing this, really, is to go in and get rid of, you can call them trolls, I call them time sucks. And they're not that complicated. One showed up on my radar today. It was some type of nondescript series of letters followed by numbers with no picture, just nothing, just clicking on accounts to follow. Folks, when I, you know, if I had the resources, I could probably crash Twitter because I can spin up accounts and scripts so fast and I have no resources. Imagine if I had $1 million. I bet I could crash Twitter. And honestly, I think I'd be doing everybody a fucking good deed. There's a real life out there, including on the internet. And it's the life we should fight for. It's the independent life. It is the life of people controlling their own fucking destiny. You and I both got suckered into an internet ghetto. You and I both got suckered into this fucking bullshit reality. But we have a choice. And I'm not saying extranet's the solution. I know there are people out there saying they're, you know, hot wiring Wi-Fis and shit. But unless you're manufacturing the chips yourself, folks, you gotta fucking get real. You really do. We have to, like, take control of computing again. And this means we have to take control of every fucking part. If you want to call this a 3D printer, call the arms, it kind of is. The fact that there are very few companies that make CPUs should fucking piss you off. And I'll even go further. If the first CPU you printed weighed 2 pounds, got decent thermal behavior, and behaved like a 486 or a 586 version 1 from 15 or 20 years ago, I would call that success. Because if you can share that architecture with another printer, that guy might figure out a way to do better. So yeah, I guess this weird, pissy, old man, Little Saigon rant about being in the internet ghetto is really a call to arms for computing. It is. We have to build the whole computer ourselves again. We have to develop volunteer networks again. We have to get over this idea that the reality we were given functions. It doesn't mean throw away HTTP and HTML. I say there have been good people. I say keep the tools that work and throw away the tools that don't and focus on open source. That's the solution. But the internet as it currently exists is owned, it's controlled, it is manipulated, and we are all in the same fucking ghetto. Next topic. So I got a weird phone call. I took a quarter of Chinese in college, so I know a little pinyin. I can do things like ni hao ma, and I know that that's probably shitty. So the point is, I could understand ni hao. I heard a few things that made sense, but for the most part, I didn't understand it. So someone was speaking, I guess what you would call Mandarin Chinese or modern Chinese, over the phone to me earlier. It was an automated voice. So it wasn't really, there was no real human being there except for the kind of the laugh track sense. You know, there was a recording. And it's weird because I've been thinking a lot about how a system like ours could function and how people are more or less controlled. And it does kind of make sense. If they actually did things like that, like just had automated calls go out to give people little scary Chinese messages, I wouldn't be surprised. As you all know on the Little Saigon Report, I put nothing past the crocodile, and if you've listened to me for a while, you know crocodile means government. You know Willy Wonka's means Microsoft. Willy Wonka's on the spectrum and kind of sociopathic software factory. Yeah, Willy Wonka's. So it's weird, but not worth a lot of time. Not going to talk about the weird stuff I wrote there. That's crazy. Twitter has this fucking banner. And this is the thing. For people who know me and know that social media is toxic, especially for me, good news. I don't think this is going to last much longer anyways. I don't think Twitter as we know it or any of this stuff is going to work much longer the way that we currently understand it. And we'll talk about that maybe in a bit. But, and we did already kind of actually, the whole hyperstatism versus collapse. If it's hyperstatism, the you know, whatever freedom you have left on the internet, it's about to go bye-bye. It's about to go away. And the whole Twitter drama of Jack Dorsey in Washington, all this is bullshit. All of this is theater. And all of this heads in one direction, which means the internet is going to get worse and uglier and grosser and more like a police state, which means Uncle Dan's about to end up where he told people he would in the mid-90s when he was a humanities geek and not a computer programmer. When I told people I was skeptical of the World Wide Web, dear Jesus in heaven, you know, when I was an atheist, you were speaking to me. I'm not saying technology's bad. Technology is wonderful. But people can be bad. And technology is in the hands of people, and the people that currently control this technology print money. So right out of the gate, you know, you and I are walking with, you know, lead feet, lead boots. So I went back on Twitter a few months ago to sort of gin up coming attraction bullshit for my podcast. Like I said, if I had really understood my good friend's G message from 9 years ago, I think I would be doing things very, very differently right now. Like, I think I would be doing things with cassette tapes and shit. Or at least, you know, recorded flash drives. I think I would be doing shit like that. I don't think I would be doing it the way I'm doing it right now. I would be doing flash drives that people can reuse with my podcasts on them. I would be selling them on the street. I would be doing, you know, real human being stuff. But then think about 2020. Think about that too. That can't be allowed. Everything I just described is currently against the law almost everywhere on planet Earth right now. Selling things in the street, greeting people, smiling, saying hello, pretty much almost all of it is illegal now. Yeah, welcome to 2020. How do you like the view? And just another thing about this topic before we go too much further, before we get into this little graphic. I don't think there's the resources to pull off the hyper-statism super police state. I think they'll try. And as I've said before, I think there's enough Pol Pot, Jim Jones crazy out there to go along for the ride at least 20 miles out into the countryside before people think this is bullshit and want to, you know, stop and smoke a joint. I mean, yeah, I think there's enough crazy people right now that they would follow some Pol Pot bullshit, globalist crapola, Bill Gates nightmare for a while. But do I really think there's enough juice in the system to keep that going? No, not really. No. This is not Eden. This is not Eden. Eden might have been a Pez dispenser. This is not. People should understand the curses. People should really understand the curses in Genesis. They really should. It is true, this land can be beautiful and this life can be amazing. But what is equally true is we will turn to dust. We were made from dust. And given a paradise, we made mistakes and we were thrown out. And we will return to dust. But with Jesus Christ, we too can rise again. We can rise again. And that is the beautiful, beautiful mystery of Christianity. I know a lot of you don't believe it, so I won't ruin your day by talking about it. But the deal is this. I went back on Twitter a few months ago for lots of different weird reasons, including Schadenfreude, including that ancient Germanic Danish fucking belief that, you know, staring at the ugliness can be enjoyable. For Schadenfreude's sake, I think I went back to Twitter. But it is kind of bullshit, too. I have met cool people, you know, and they know who they are. They podcasted with me, and they will again. I gotta be hopeful. I gotta say they will again. Because I cannot give up. I won't give up. I'm not gonna, like, say the world is over. The Lord in heaven told us he would come like a thief in the night. He's not going to advertise his visit like a bunch of black-clad commie freaks in the street. No, I think he's going to be a little bit more stealthy than that. So I don't know what these times are. Could they be the end times? Yes. Could they be the preview to the end times? Yes. Could the end times still be thousands of years away? Yes. I don't really know. What I do know is today I'm not dead. I have coffee, and it's Sanka. It's Sanka. But I have coffee, and the truth is I have more expensive coffee, without a very good way of making it. I don't have a proper coffee maker. One of my listeners was really generous and got me expensive coffee, but I should have gotten a French press before I ran out of money the last time. Yeah, don't have a French press. I'm on Twitter for Schadenfreude and for the belief that I'm not in a digital ghetto, even though I am, the thinking I could have a podcast. And I don't even know if I'm good at this or not. I could really suck. I just wish I was given a fair chance. It's not an issue of whether I suck or not. I might very well suck. But it would be nice to live in a world where at least the odds would be even in terms of reality. But we live on the Death Star. And these systems we think are free, we're told they're free. The reason why you can still listen to me is because I am shadow banned. I am not banned. Banning people would not work very well. I think we had a conversation about propaganda the other day. You know, currying the truth, currying the lies, so to speak. Yeah, you take the curry, the truth, you add it to the lies. People like me, maybe I'm not the truth, but there are people like me who are like that curry. They get added to this Overton window bullshit. And so some douchebag can tell you voting for Biden is like being a conservative. What fucking monkey-ass nightmare is that true within? And if some other motherfucker says it's racist to follow the Constitution, doesn't that kind of imply that social contract was basically bullshit to begin with? Wow, I think it kind of does. There is no social contract. That basically is what a motherfucking senator, I think he's a Senator Markey or something, that's what that idiot's saying. And a lot of people are coming out and saying it, and I have been saying it for years. You're free, okay? You did not sign any contract with anybody. You're a free human being. Now, they don't want me to interpret it that way. They want me to lead you on like some bad Pied Piper to the globalist nightmare. Now, I got the opposite fucking message. Social contract was always bullshit. You were always free. The Lord in heaven made you free the very moment you came into existence. That's it. Everyone else has been trying to rip you off. The only document this country ever needed was the Declaration of Independence. And the Articles of Confederation, that was just the current arrangement among independent states, which at that time, if left to themselves, probably wouldn't have wanted to form a bank or an army or victimize all their native neighbors nearby. Yeah, a lot of them were racist, but I don't think they wanted the Holocaust of Native Americans. I don't think so. But it was hijacked by scumbags. Yes, George Washington, fucking Hamilton, people that we are supposed to look up to, they hijacked a legitimate pursuit of freedom and they turned it into a scumbag paradise. So Senator Markey inadvertently told the truth, which is really strange for a politician when it happens. But it's 2020, and I keep with my current theory that they're dumping all kinds of info. They got all kinds of weird scripts because they're just trying to dazzle and amaze and obscure, and I still don't know what it is. But here's the topic. Twitter has been putting up this little banner, and it's going to be in the notes, okay? And these notes will apply, excuse me, like prior to 7:30 and up until whatever, 9 a.m., but I will list out the time intervals. But anywho, these notes will be listed and you can figure them out. But the banner, I took a screenshot and it's in the notes. It says election, this is what Twitter published, election results might be delayed. With the increase in voting by mail, there might be a delay. There might be a delay for the princess queen. Yeah, so anyways, election results might be delayed. With the increase in voting by mail, there might be a delay in the announcement of the election results, which means, this means you could encounter unconfirmed claims that a candidate has won their race. Basically, Twitter is advertising that they are totally about gaslighting you, and they are happy about gaslighting you, and they will be gaslighting you for the next fucking month as long as you're on Twitter. So ask me again why I would love to see this pile of shit burn. And to all the motherfuckers who say, well, you should build something new and better on a pile of shit, on a castle of sand, on quadrillions in bad debt, bad default swaps, bad derivatives, quadrillions, probably for the whole planet, 4 or 5, and it's going up, baby. You know, the Fed's buying bonds. I wish the Fed would buy moon bonds, because I think the moon bond might be the only fucking honest bond that puts them in a bind. Think about it. You basically take all the fucking property on the moon, you say, buy the bond, you get these many square miles, and you can do whatever the fuck you want with it. If the moon is bullshit, that is the ultimate fuck you. If the moon is not bullshit, that's, you actually get a twofer. You get a lot of your bullshit money, we're gonna buy myself a moon bond, and you get people going to the moon. So you basically sell them something that they could have gone and gotten themselves. Wow, that sounds like the U.S. Constitution. They took your freedom and they sold it back to you at only half the price at first. And then later it went up double and triple. You know, and now we're here. And now the price of freedom is really measured in billions. If we want to quantify it, if we want to be all, you know, if we want to be jerks about it, scumbag utilitarians or something, we could say the price of freedom today compared to 200 years ago is measured in billions of dollars. If you don't have billions of dollars, then there's probably not much you can do on this prison planet except for obey. I'm not saying that you can't be a well-fed slave. I see well-fed blue checkmark slaves on Twitter every fucking day. Okay? You can be popular and you can be artistic and you can be approved of and you can be recognized and you can make money as long as you fit the narrative. Okay? And again, the narrative can switch. You know, who knows? I could end up on the narrative because I think they're going to call anarchism racism soon. And then they'll call it Nazism. And then the poem that is written 50 years from now, like the last one, will list out all the groups except for us. And we're usually the ones that get killed first. Sorry. Yeah. But I don't care because this is principle. And I should say anarchists and Christians because, yeah, I think one scenario that could be coming very soon, especially with all this bullshit around canceling Thanksgiving and Christmas, and yeah, I'm perfectly willing to accept the dubious nature of Thanksgiving as an anarchist. But problem with Christmas is that it has become associated for Christians as a recognized festival time. So what you're really doing, whether you fucking realize it or not, is you're taking a giant middle finger and you're saying, fuck you, Jesus, and fuck you, Christians. And no, I didn't stutter, did I? Sorry, just, I think about this bullshit. So yeah, Twitter had a banner up on Twitter today saying the election results might be delayed, which is kind of like saying it might rain tomorrow, but it's truly designed to stun and amaze and startle. And then in the sub, and then below it, you know, subtitle or subtext or the text below, with the increase in voting by mail, there might be a delay in the announcement of election results. This means you could encounter unconfirmed claims that a candidate has won their race. Basically, that's like saying water is wet. I mean, if you get through all this, this was only designed to startle and to frighten and to terrorize and to gaslight. Fucking hey. Yeah, here's the next topic off of our list here. Well, before I go in, I've got some old notes I want to finish out tonight if I can too. I don't know. I might run out of time. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't think so. Yes, in the year 2022, you know that's 2 years from now. In the year 2022, all of our brains will go into robot bodies. In the year 2023, we will tear the brains out of our bodies. Yes, indeed. In the year 2023, we will take our robot arms. We will tear off our robot skull cap. In the year 2023. Yes, indeed. In the year 2022, all our brains will go into robot bodies. In the year 2023, we will take our robot arms and we will rip off our robot skull caps and tear out our still fleshy human brains, and we will throw them onto the ground. That'll be the last command we send to the computer in the arm to take the brain and tear it out and toss it. And then we will send last commands to the body to stomp the brain. Now, you're going to ask yourself, Dan, why did you go to that very, very dark, very, very scary place? Because in some metaphorical way, I am terribly afraid this is where we're headed. I had this really good idea for a sci-fi story I was too lazy to write. And this happens to me. If I'm not in the right place, I can't write. So I just build up this queue of stories in my head. And this one basically is very dark. I've talked about it a few times. And it basically amounts to convincing people that a suicide chamber is a door to another universe. And it sounds weird, but if you imagine a present like ours, but maybe 5 years from now, and we're being gaslit and we're being told there are viruses and, you know, climate change lies and geoengineering lies, and there's all kinds of crap going on. And it's obvious they're poisoning us from the water, from the soil, from the air. Okay, but nobody understands, and people are getting kind of stupid. Again, it's a buildup of metal in the brain. So eventually people will, the quote-unquote epidemic of dementia and Alzheimer's and the disappearance of the bees, these things are related to the same basic things. We have poisons going into our environment right now that are making us stupid. Some of these are well-known, like fluoride. Some of them are well-known, like mercury and other things they add to vaccines. But some of the stuff, people don't understand. They don't understand geoengineering, so they don't understand. Anywho, bit of a rant. The reason why I went down that dark road is because I think people would, if the government came along and said, you can live in the world to come, but your brain, your current fleshy brain, you know, your fleshy brain... That's right. Imagine the government came along and said, the world is coming to an end, and the only way you can survive is to have your brain put into a robot body. And so you know, full disclosure, I've read Whispers in the Darkness by H.P. Lovecraft, so I know it's a similar kind of, you know, plot idea, motive. But the point is, what if the government came along and said, you can live forever? You don't have to be afraid of death. You can plug into simulated everything, simulated sex, simulated drugs, simulated everything. And it'll still be you because it'll still be your brain. And we'll have nanites in there that repair your brain and fix things that go wrong with it. So you can live forever. You'll never die. And that is how it will be sold. Anything that the devil sells, and if you don't believe in God, be an atheist, but at least be a little skeptical. Anything these evil people sell is going to sound great. Like Medicare. Okay? Like welfare. Like Social Security. Like the war in Vietnam. At first, it probably sounded great. Okay? A lot of these things do until people realize they've been fucked with. And that usually comes when? Too fucking late. Yeah. Sorry for being such a downer today, but I'm just telling it like it is. I'm afraid there are people who are ready to do the Pol Pot Jim Jones thing. And yeah, but they will. And this is the other side of the mountain, though, here. This is, you know, you're at the peak right now, so you got quite a view. So here's the other side of the mountain. I think if people did this, if they took their brains and put them in robot bodies, I do believe a couple years later, at least, people would be like, this is hell. This sucks. I want to die. And a lot of people would simply start doing that. They would take their robot arm, pull off their robot skull cap, pull out their fleshy human brain, and order their robot body to smash it to bits. That is what I think would be the outcome. Okay? This is not a future for human beings. We are supposed to be born... Barring disease, barring accidents, barring reality, we're supposed to be born, and we're going to live a while, and some don't live that long. Some only live a few years. And then we all die. And we may die when we're very young, and this is sad. Believe me, I don't care if it's 10 years old, like my friend from Immaculate Conception. I don't care if it's 43, when my sister Nancy died. And when my mom died, she was in her 80s, and it was still sad. It's sad when people die. It is. And before I was a Christian, it was actually really sad, because the only thought in my head was, I'm never, ever going to get a chance to talk to that person again. Ever. So it's sad when people die. But we're supposed to die. If you want to ask if there's a flavor to life, it sounds bad, it sounds sad, it even sounds scary, spooky. It's Halloween season, folks. the flavor reality, and this is why Halloween, despite being a pagan holiday, is popular among some Christians, and to some extent, I have to admit, with me too. I know its source, I know it's pagan. I separate the two things. It's kind of like what the Romans did to Christian holidays and pagan holidays. I separate the two things. I know how to do that. Yeah. But anyways, I think that the notion that we will die and that there's no escaping that, that death comes for everyone, I think that idea, I don't know how to put it, but I think that is the idea. Yeah. I think that's the idea that gives life the flavor. The idea that it is fleeting. And we do take it for granted. And usually, when we do, at least this has been my experience, life becomes less interesting. Because we do kind of blow it off. We sort of say, I'll just coast. And I've done that. Believe me, I've done that. And I've actually tried to survive that way because I don't really function very well in the way the world is currently constructed. It's okay. I don't think it's, you know, I would have been okay in a way in January of this year, because in January of this year, I had a plan and it made sense and there was no monkey herpes and there was none of this mask bullshit. It wasn't a dystopia yet. Not really. It was a little bit, you could smell it in the air, but I was still kind of thinking maybe it could be years away, or maybe we'll be really lucky and we'll skip the dystopia phase. That was a lot of wishful thinking, because I knew better. I mean, it's funny, as I've been telling people for months what was going to happen, but in January of this year, I gave myself the permission to be optimistic for about 5 or 6 weeks, and then the darkness and the dystopia landed on top of me just like every other fucking person. I have a quote from Dr. Freckles that I think applies. The parts that suck, they melt away. Yep, they do, folks. I'm 50 years old. I can tell you, everything that sucks melts away. The parts that don't suck, the parts that don't suck, they last forever. That's kind of a silly quote. We'll get past it. There's something from Revelation, the book of Revelation, I came across, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but it had to do with these locusts. And these locusts, you know, people bring up the locusts from Revelation, but they're really not the same thing, I don't think. And I'm going to talk to my friend Mike about this sometime. But the locusts in Revelation, they sound more like little robots. They don't really sound like living things. Yes, they have the bodies of locusts, but they have, you know, other things that make them seem not at all like regular locusts. And the other thing that was really interesting is that, and I believe it coincides with this 6-month period where people will want to die, but won't be able to. Now, again, folks, I am a hobo preacher in Little Saigon. I don't claim to understand or have memorized the whole Bible. So if I made any mistake in describing that portion of the book of Revelation, please understand. But I basically am contending the following, that the locusts do not seem to be like regular locusts based on the description. They sound basically really horrific, like the almost like the head of a lion with lion's teeth. It's like, okay, that's kind of scary, because it sounds like the kind of bug that would eat you alive. But the creepy thing is that people will want to die, but won't be able to for those months. And I think it was like 6 months or something, you know, 5 or 6 months. I think it may have been 5 months or something. But the point is, for roughly half a year, maybe 5 months, people will want to die, but won't be able to. It's weird. It's something I was thinking about the other day. It's just kind of like, I don't know. It just strikes you as a little strange. I'm checking the time here. Checking the time rabbit. Yeah, I've already talked about the... Okay, Yeah, I've talked about this already. I don't want to talk about that. The winds are shifting, learn to sail. That's a Dr. Freckles quote, but I don't care about that. I have this memory that goes back to 2014, and I think it was 2014, although I think the memory deals with something that really started happening in 2013. But if you remember, there was this banking crisis in Cyprus, and they did a whole bail-in, which is fancy banker talk for stealing money from people's accounts. And I remember back then people saying, "Oh, Dan, Americans would never put up with it." And in a way, they were right. Like, if you want to do austerity with Americans, you have to turn it into a movie. Okay? You can't do it like an honest, crooked way where you just literally just steal the money and you give it kind of a crooked name. Europeans do it that way because I still think some of them believe in honor. No, with Americans, it's more like a movie. You do a movie, you call it COVID the movie, starring Tom Hanks. It's going to win an Oscar. It's going to win an Oscar for Tom Hanks, COVID the movie. They managed to do it using this bullshit COVID nightmare to implement austerity. They have. If you don't know what austerity is, I'll leave you to research it. But it is basically where you give lots and lots of money to the rich scumbags that tanked your economy, and then you squeeze poor people even further. I'll repeat that. You give tons of money to the douchebags that raped you, and then you let them rape you some more. Does that help with the fucking math? That is austerity. And they have 100% accomplished it. And guess what? Black Lives Matter, they're part of that too. Yeah, sorry. If you're a little commie thinking you're fighting for freedom in that group, you're really fucking stupid. Period. Stupid. It is total fucking bullshit. But it is part of austerity. It is part of holding people down. It is part of keeping people indoors. It is part of controlling consumption and controlling inflation. Because while they're printing money for those people, they're buying up assets. They don't want you to use any money right now. They want to use the money while you're being fucked. That's austerity. Congratulations, they achieved it. Next topic. I had this thought about living in tents a while back. I had this thought about living in a tent. Like, what would it be like to live in a tent, right? Well, anyways, I've lived in a tent. I was in the army, so wasn't good at many things, but I was good at living in a tent, anyways. But it occurred to me the other day that the way I live life right now isn't necessarily that much better. That's A. And B, maybe that's what I need to be prepared for. I know there are people out there who would say, "Oh, Dan, you're just shooting too low." Listen, God bless you if you think that's true, and God bless you if you're able to take care of your family right now. And I don't believe you should simply live in fear. No one should live in fear, but people have to be practical. Okay? I don't know how I'm going to live in Seattle if this wretched dystopia continues. And I'm sorry, but the quote unquote crypto economy isn't really working for me. So that isn't a way out. That's bullshit. Okay? The fact is, there is no functional way for people like me to survive if the future that Bill Gates wants happens. That means that people like me are going away. And I know what that means because I've read one or two history books. And you know what? If I have to live in this dystopia much longer, I might just go away anyways. Not because I want to die, but because life is being made impossible for a lot of people. Not just physically, not just emotionally, not just psychologically, but in every integrated sense of what it means to be alive. They've managed to make it fucking impossible. They managed to convince us all that it is a dignified life to live like a fucking rat. But it isn't. This is no life for human beings. Do I think we're perfect? Do I think that, you know, we live a perfect life and do good all the time? Hell no. We're so flawed. But who amongst us has a right to judge that other than Jesus Christ? None. Nobody. In fact, the people judging you and I right now are some of the shittiest fucking people that have ever lived, and I include Sodom. These are the nastiest, shittiest fucking people, and they're standing in judgment on you, and they're standing in judgment on me. So I ask you, how do you fit into that world? I don't really know. Yeah, I don't know. I just lost the vibe. I don't know how a person can live in a world where the people who are going to tell them what to do are basically evil. There's no compromise on that. They're not flawed, okay? Flawed, we passed that road sign a long time ago, folks. Flawed. John F. Kennedy was flawed. He was. He had flaws. And the folks that want to, you know, besmirch his memory to some extent, they focus on his flaws. But it is also possible that he was a decent person. It is possible that that both those things are true. But whatever the case is, we passed flawed with respect to the people who run the world a long time ago. This is evil. What they're doing is evil. The lies are evil, and it is evil that so many people believe it. If you're an atheist, you can just say this is just the human race, and you can say this is just mass psychology, and if you want to, you can call it Stockholm Syndrome. I'll call it evil. Anywho, for Wednesday, October the 28th, of the people of the planet, the people of the home planet known as Earth, before we return to the ancient planet of Yarbo. People of Yarbo settled the planet Earth 55 trillion clen ago. Their planet was being destroyed by the Zlimbus. It was a mucus rat covered in veins and blimbus, and hairs made of nails. Every hair contained bacteria that would melt your face. Yeah, take that, Nicolas Cage and John Travolta. Face off. Take that, John Travolta and Nicolas Cage. Yes, the people of Yarbo may return. They will return with cannons of light and protons and neutrons. They will travel in what I sometimes refer to as a Dyson hot rod. The Yarbo freaks travel in starships that are 20 light years long. They're powered by three collapsed stars. That's their hyperspace superdrive. That's for faster than light. But what's really toasting them is a fucking super hot little orange sun like ours in the thrust compartment. That's what I told her. Yeah, I don't know about the people of Yarbo, really. They might not be coming. And if they don't come, I'll be okay with that. For the most part, outer space is a hypothetical that does not apply to my daily life. You know, currently, I get by on whatever protein I can find. If I can convert some sort of animal into a juicy flump and then pour that into a pan, that's right, if I can just gather from the land as the forger of the urban world, the traveler of the city light where death gleams off the sidewalk, if I can simply travel those urban streets in search of meats, I can grab a pigeon and bite its head off. I can traverse the wail of my own forgetfulness. But the people of Yarbo just might not be there. Please have a great Wednesday. Despite all the negative energy you might be feeling from me right now as a podcaster, believe me, I believe it's temporary. I just think I'm feeling a bit of the pain of the world. This happens to crazy old freaks that live in ratty old apartments and nasty old parts of town. This is an ancient problem of the hermit. Okay? It just happens. You know? Sometimes we're a live wire. Sometimes the universe is a live wire and you don't want to touch it with your consciousness. Because once you tap in, you see things you can't unsee. Like Chip the Robot Dog from August 2019. I thought it was funny to joke about a dog that would sniff people for vaccines and then bite them and put a chip inside them and give them their vaccines. I thought it was funny. It was a funny, funny thing in a podcast from August of 2019. I thought it was funny to talk about a monkey virus in another podcast. Oh, it's funny. They might do a monkey virus. Well, it turned out, I don't know if it's monkey or bat or rat or even if it's fucking real. I've joked about this stuff and I worry sometimes that my jokes are coming true. And folks, I know that's delusional. So before we close out, I don't need to go to a monkey house. You don't need to send me to old rascal school for the crazy. I'm okay. I'm about as crazy as most of you right now. It's just that I think that maybe, and this doesn't make anybody special, but maybe things have been so noisy in the future that a lot of us have started to hear little creaks in the past. And I know it sounds weird. I'm leaving you with a terrible thought. And it's not original. There have been many people who have supposed that seeing the future might just be picking up energy from the future, from something that's so bad that it echoes in all directions, which means both forwards and backwards in time. So when Edgar Cayce saw shit, he might have been sensing the heat death of a future event in causality. You can think of a big event as being an explosion. It has heat death, but you experience the heat as it's being wasted in every direction of space and time. And it's possible that people like Edgar Cayce pick it up. And again, I'm not trying to give you a pseudoscientific explanation for things that are also a matter of spirit, because many people believe that God was talking to him. And I would go even a step further. God is talking to all of us all the time if we would just put down our fucking smart device. Just disconnect. And that includes me. If we just go for a fucking walk and leave our phone at home. The Lord in heaven talks to all of us all the time. Yes, the language is not always clear. And the message is not always well understood. But remember, it's God. We're not all going to get a burning bush. I'm sorry. I wish I could get one. It'd be nice. But I also know I probably don't deserve one. So, you know, I'm kind of like just kind of keeping a low profile with the J-Man. You know, I put in requests. I try to keep them simple. And I try to focus on others. Because I don't know that I can put that many personal requests at this point. Don't know. I just ask you to meditate on these thoughts as you drift away to the Wednesday night. The Wednesday night's called hump day for a reason. It's because a lot of you are going to go hump somebody. I ain't got nobody. I just got the darkness. I just got the love of my own brain that's going insane. I have the worms that keep me company in the bathroom. I have the creatures that crawl up from beneath, the ones living now in the dark slime below Seattle. I have the infinite energy ball of a life not yet finished. And so do you. You're not dead yet. If you're listening to me, you're not dead yet. Have a great Wednesday.